Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're continuing in our series called Neighbours, and as I said, this is the last in the series. All right, so next week we'll be starting a series called Kill the Spider. Some of you might think, well, that's really violent, Pastor Nelly, for a church to be talking about that. Or some of you are intrigued. You're going to have to be here next week to find out more about it. But without further ado, can we stand to our feet in reverence for God's word? And let's read together. If you have a Bible, go with me to Luke chapter 19. And we'll be reading from the 11th verse. We're going to be touching on quite a bit of scripture, but we'll read from the 11th verse just for our time today. Let's all read together. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far off country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling all 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word that helps us to know how we're supposed to live. God, we thank you that you are a sure thing, and that as we put our trust in you, Lord, we know that you will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So I thank you that you are our provider. Just before we go any further, if there's anybody in here with a need, financial need right now, that you're believing God for a breakthrough, I just want you to lift your hand. I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to reassure you that he is your provider. He is your provision. Lord, as you see these hands lifted, God, I just sense, Lord, that you are wanting to reassure these people that you are their provision, to not put their trust in horses and chariots, to not put their trust in other things, to not put their trust in their careers, but to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that all things will be added unto them. Father, I thank you that you are all that they need. Financial breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. All right, everybody. The title of my message today is Betting on a Sure Thing. Betting on a Sure Thing, the investment that matters. Now, there's a term in finances, for those of you who have, investigated the possibility of investment. Many of you will be familiar with this term, the ROI, return on investment. Return on investment, which really literally means, like, if you invest in something, you expect a return from it. And if the interest rate is good on that which you invest in, then the return on investment will be worth investing in. So a lot of people base their investment on what the ROI is, the interest rate. And so I'm here to tell you today that God is the God of not just The average, I think, of ROIs and a lot of the funds here, the long-term funds here in Australia is around 10%. God is in the business of, according to Mark chapter 4, 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's not 30%. That's 30 times 100%. That's 100% times 30. That's how sure you can be in the investment of God. Now, be careful. Some of you are looking at me going, what does that have to do with all that we've been talking about the last few weeks? And why is Pastor Nally preaching the prosperity gospel all of a sudden? Hold on, okay? It's going to make sense. But the question I wanted to ask you at the top is, if there was a sure ROI, would you invest in it? How many of you say, yeah? Yeah? Like, if you were for sure that your return on investment would be 30, 60, and 100-fold, would you invest in it wholeheartedly? I can't convince you, but hopefully the Holy Spirit can convince you. As we break down this passage, like I said at the top, we're going to be chewing on a lot of scripture today. So I hope you came hungry for the Word of God. It says here, and they heard these things. Now I want you to put your finger, how many of you, like we were desperately looking for a bookmark, so you couldn't find one, you put your finger in the book. Put your finger on that verse, okay, because we're going to come back to that verse. As they heard these things, because the question then is, what things? Okay, we'll get back to that. I'm going to come back to that point. He proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And he said, therefore, a nobleman, and so he's telling this parable, right? A nobleman went off to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Who's he talking about here in this parable? Jesus. All right. And he called 10 of his servants. Okay, 10 is the number of completion. When he's talking about 10 of his servants, he's talking about everybody. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're part of everybody. Okay, so if you are a follower of Christ in this room today, he's talking to you. All right? He gave them 10 minas and he said to them, engage. He did not give them 10 minas and go, if you get hungry, eat streets open later. He said, engage, okay? Everybody say engage. Engage in business until I come. How many of you know? Number one, God has business that he wants us to engage in. And number two, he's coming back. Let me say that again. God has business that he wants us to engage in. And then number two, he is coming back. You with me? All right. Really important. But his citizens hated him. And sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. I don't want to do what God tells me to do. I don't feel like I should engage in his business. Why should he tell me what to do? I don't know what accent that is, but it's funny how, number one, they're citizens of his land. He owns the land. They live in his land. They breathe his air. And they're like, we don't want to do what he tells you to do. That nobleman has every right to shut the air off. That nobleman has every right to kick them out of the lands of which they are citizens in, but still embraces them despite them saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So he comes back. Everybody remember? He's coming back. And having received the kingdom, how many of you know our God has the kingdom, right? He is the king of the kingdom. Sorry, Prince Harry and the girl from Suits. This is the king, all right? He ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him. Everything in your wallet is God's, whether you know it or like it or not. Where everything that you live in, or the clothes that you wear, the air that you breathe, take a deep breath, everybody. Breathe it out. Careful. He ordered those servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained by doing business. And the first comes to him saying, Lord, your mina. Now I want you to understand a mina, one commentary that I was studying, says that a mina is around 4 months' wages. So if you have 10 minas, that's around 3.5 years of wages that has been entrusted to you. So 4 months' wages. Like, the mina has made 10 minas more. Wow. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. That's a pretty big ROI, wouldn't you say? Like, you don't just get 3.5 years income, you get cities. How many of you know God wants to give his servants cities? How many of you know God wants to give the city of Perth, not just to every nation, but to the kingdom of God? God wants to give us the city of Logan. God wants to give us the city of Moreton Bay. God wants to give us the Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast, any coast that we reside on. God wants to give us the city of Brisbane. How many of you believe that today? But it's all with regards to how faithful we are as servants and stewards of what he's given us, what he's put in our hands. What are you doing with your mina, my servant? He says. And the second one comes. And to be honest, the second one's my hero. Many of you have heard the parable of the talents. It's very similar, right? This guy was given less, but he gains 5 minas. How many of you have been in that situation? You go second, and the first guy gives 10 minas, and you look at him, you go, oh, shucks. I thought I was faithful, but looks like he's winning. I got 5. Some of us have different capacities, but it's whether you're going to work with what you have to produce. It's how fruitful you are. The whole book of Proverbs is full of verses about not being lazy, because God is after stewards. God is after servants who will steward well the revelation of the gospel that he's given us. Whether you're a 5 mina, a 10 mina, a couple of mina, he wants you to invest. Now, Jesus didn't say, oh, is that all? He says to him, no, you get 5 cities too. Oh, wow. Awesome. I'll take Adelaide. I'll take Sydney. Sydney needs Jesus. And then another came. He said, Lord, here is your mina. Because I thought you were meaner. Corny. Which I kept laid in a handkerchief. This is pretty sad, right? He didn't even put it in a box. Didn't even put it in a safe. Like anybody could have stolen it from a handkerchief. The value of the mina that was given to him was put in a handkerchief. How much do you value what God has put in your hands, saints? Do you put it in tissue from Kohl's that cost you 95 cents? Says, oh yeah, I'll get to it eventually. No, God wants us to steward. Well, God wants us to value what he's given us. Look, here is your mina. I kept it away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you. Number one, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. A main determinant in the way that you steward what God has given you is, number one, how you value that thing that he's given you. And then number two, your perception of him. It says, for I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. I mean, the nerve of this guy. This was the guy at the beginning was like, we don't want to follow you. We don't want to do what you tell us to do. How many of you know that the greatest way to figure out how to maximize that which is in your hands is to talk to or to discover that purpose from the one who put it in your hands in the first place? How many of you have a digital device in your hands right now? Just wave it up at me. That digital device, whether you have an Apple digital device or something more inferior, whatever device you have, you knew it was coming, man. It's best to go to the one who made that device to discover its purpose, right? If you want to go to the Apple store, or you want to go to the Apple manuals, the Apple website, if you want to figure it out, or you go to Samsung, for those of you who own Samsungs, or whatever other phones that you might have, you know, if it's an Android, you go to the manual, you go to the man who invented it, you go to whoever invented that to find out what it's purposed for, because if you don't know what it's purposed for, you're going to inevitably break that thing which was put in your hands. You're going to use that phone like it was a hammer. I don't know what this is for. Oh, you're going to use that phone to stir up your coffee this morning because it was extra cold. You put your phone in the coffee and you stir it because you don't know what it's for. And it's funny how people will complain, I don't know what this life is for, so I'll just abuse it any way that I want. How many of you know there's a manual? There's a manual for the way that God has called us to live this life. And you can talk directly to the one who gave you this life in the first place in prayer. And knowing who he is, you can connect with the one who gives us purpose. But we won't connect with him if we're afraid of him. Look at the words here. Because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. How many of you know he sowed? But they're holding on to it dearly in a handkerchief. Saying, oh, you know, I was afraid you'd take it from me. First of all, it's not yours. That breath that you took was given to you by the grace of God. God didn't have to give you that breath. But because Lamentations 3 says his mercies are new every morning, and this is a new morning that he's given you to breathe, we operate out of thanksgiving now. We steward our lives out of thanksgiving now. It's different the way we live. It's transformative the way he works in our lives because our lives belong to him and we invest differently. So when it comes to the point of should I invest in what God has given for me to invest in or should I keep it in a handkerchief because I don't value it, then we begin to see the discrepancy here between the different servants. Look at what this nobleman says. I will condemn you with your own words. Your own words are condemning you. You're the wicked servant. You knew I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Look, I did sow. Look, it's not that he's mean. It's just the recognition that, hey, that which I gave you, I didn't have to give it to you, but I gave it to you. So you're recognizing by your own revelation or your own thought, it's not a revelation, but your own thought of who I am, that I'm not gracious to you. Some of us in this room today need to dispel the lie that God is mad at you. God is angry at you. God is angry at the sin that is separating you from him right now. He is mad at it, so mad that he said, I'm going to have to wrap myself in human flesh to lay my life down so that you no longer need to be separated from me. Why did he do that? He ain't mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He loves you. See, we worship in accordance with the revelation that we have of who he is. We worship God based on how deep that revelation is of who he is. And then we sow our lives, our time, our talent, and our treasure based on the revelation of who he is. But when you begin to understand, my brothers and sisters, that what you have was never yours in the first place, you sow differently. Because you understand the greatest return of investment starts from a place of zero, understanding that I didn't have anything to begin with. And so he says, why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to them, I love this. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And look at the comparison that happens here. They said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. Well, why are we giving it to him? Those who invest hard will gain. I want to make this clear. The message of the gospel is that we don't have to do anything to attain the love of God. There's nothing that you can do or that you have done in your past that would separate you from the love of God. God loves you with an insatiable, unquenchable love. He loves you with this love that is not gained by your own merit, by what you've done, by the righteous deeds that you've done. And for no matter how bad you've been, no matter what things that you've done in your past, nothing can separate you from the love of God, according to Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from him. But your response to him because of that love, your life should be lived out as thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all you've done. You know what? These 10 minas are your minas. I'm going to invest in what you've called me to invest in because I know the gain is not just for myself, but as a son, as a daughter of the living God, I know that you're going to cover me. You got my back, God. You're going to provide for me. You're going to take care of my every need. And that's why I will invest and seek first your kingdom and your righteousness that all things will be added unto me. I know you got my back. So I'm just going to invest in you, God, because I love you, because you first loved me. And I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Again, here's a principle that I've taught here many times, but just for reinforcement, make a fist, everybody. Remember this. Faithful in small things. F-I-S-T. Everybody say F-I-S-T. Faithful in small things. If you forget that, just go ahead and wake yourself up and remind yourself that. Faithful in the way you spend your time. The richest man in the world has the same 24 hours that you have. And yet a lot of the richest people on the Forbes list are living for things that are not eternal. You have the revelation of eternity in your hearts. Take your 24 hours and invest that 24 hours in working hard, playing hard, and sleeping hard. When you start to get that all mixed up, you don't know how to Sabbath well. You don't know how to rest well. You don't know how to connect with God, the source of strength. I want to encourage you to steward your time wisely. Steward your finances wisely. Always have three ledgers in your budget. Give, save, spend. Your tithes and your offerings belong to God. Then you save to prepare for the long term so that you don't have to take out loans to buy stuff that you know you don't deserve short term. And then you spend after you've done those things. It's stewardship. And we're going to have some events for those of you who are wanting to get your life right with regards to budgeting and finances. We're going to have some events that are run by the church that you can invite your friends to that don't know Christ and would like to know how to steward well their finances. We will have events that are coming up later this year. And then you spend. But don't feel like, and see, I hope you caught in this parable. There's a lot of pressure because he's got rims on his car and she looks good in that dress and she got a boyfriend. So maybe I need to get a dress like that because I want a boyfriend. So I can't afford it. So I'll go take a loan out to try to save face. And I know some of our cultures, and I understand our cultural sensitivity, that some of our cultures promote a saving of face by spending money we don't have. I'm here to tell you today that with kingdom thinking, I ask you to think through this the right way. That if Jesus Christ is Lord of your finances, then steward your finances well. So where is the sure bet? Now, right at the beginning of this parable, right at the start, how many of you remember what I said? I said that when they heard these things, then he told this parable. What was the question we asked at the beginning? What are these things? What are these things, Zion, that we speak of? Let's start at the beginning of this chapter. That's right. We're reading all 27 verses of this chapter. It says here, he entered Jericho and was passing through. Speaking of Jesus. Okay, this is just before this parable. Let me say this too, just in prefacing this. Many of you have headings in your Bible. How many of you, when you look down at your Bible or your digital device with the Bible, have a heading that separates the part that's before it and the part after, okay? I want you to understand that when this gospel was written by Luke and when the whole Bible was written, there were no headings. There were no chapters. Everything flowed like a narrative, especially with Luke. Luke wrote the Bible in a very didactic, chronological order, because he was trying to get across the message of the timeline of Jesus. That wasn't as important to an author like John, who had specific themes that he was trying to highlight. With Luke, he was trying to say, this is what happened, and then this happened, okay? So immediately before this parable, Jesus has an encounter in Jericho. And I want you to notice, he got to Jericho. Jericho is the kind of town that you stop for business, or it's like Coffs Harbor if you're driving to Sydney, right? You pop in, you sleep, and then you move on, right? But Jesus, interestingly enough, he was passing through, but then there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So here's this Danny DeVito-looking dude. It's just small guy, right? There's a crowd there, and he's seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, remember what for those of you who, you know, this is your first time, I've been talking a little bit about tax collectors when we touched on the the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that? And the parable was told to a bunch of tax collectors and Pharisees. Tax collectors are of ill repute. And again, I want to reiterate to my accountants in the house, I love you. This is not talking about you who do accounting or finances in here, but I'm talking about the financiers of that day. Like, if you can imagine the most crooked loan sharks. How many of you have ever been to like certain parts of town and they have those loan sharks? They say, yeah, we can help you finance that car. No, you don't need a license. We can help you finance that. Just sign this document and then you don't read the small print. Like the small print is so small that even an ant can't read it. But they've got it there. And then when, you know, you fall into financial distress, then they say, it's there in the small print. Then they pull out the microscope and they see, I told you it's there. That it, you know, the interest rate's like 70% repayments. And if you can't, we'll take your house back and all this sort of stuff. That's the reputation that these tax collectors had. And Zacchaeus was one of them. Little Z. That was his rap name. Okay? Ended every sentence with A. So he ran on ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree. Some of y'all learned Sunday school songs about this, right? Some of y'all are ashamed of the Sunday school gospel. That's all right. For he was about to pass that way. Here's the thing we can learn from Zacchaeus. Some of us like to stay in the crowd but don't necessarily want to meet with Jesus, because we're, number one, again, remembering we might be afraid of our perception of him based on that parable we just read, or we think that crowd revelation is enough. I heard Pastor Nelly this Sunday. Yeah, I don't have to come to church for about a month because that's my spiritual feeding for the rest of this month. No, 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 no. We need to have the faith of Zacchaeus. Despite his ill reputation, he wanted to see Jesus. There is this pursuit of seeing the Master, seeing Jesus. And so he climbs on up that sycamore tree, climbs up like Tarzan. And he's on that tree and he's looking out at Jesus. And check out Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. How many of us miss our Zacchaeuses? If we're representatives of Jesus, miss our moments with Zacchaeus because we're looking at the crowd thinking how awesome we are. Brisbane doesn't care about what goes on in this room. Brisbane doesn't care what goes on in even the mega churches in our city. Brisbane really doesn't care about that. It's just when we start going out and looking up, looking in the hidden places, that's when we start to shake up and change the city. This, what happens in this room really doesn't matter. I'm not here, you know, just to warm your heart so that you can go off feeling as good as an extended Hallmark card. Oh, wow, cuddles. No, I'm here to activate you. If you are a follower of Jesus in this room today, God sees you and God wants to meet with you. But even if you're not a follower of Jesus in this room today, God sees you and he wants to meet with you too. I must stay at your house today. The Spirit of the Lord would say, I must stay at your house today. How many of us have a place in our hearts where Jesus stays? Not just visits, not just pops over for a cup of tea, pinkies up. No, Jesus wants to stay at your house. How many of you have had people stay at your home? And I'm not saying that about people that have stayed in my home when I give this example, because I love the people that stay at our house. But like, how many of you have had people that stay? I love you, Adele. How many of you have had people that stay at your home and they're supposed to pop over and then, yeah, sure, you can stay. And then before you know it, it's like you start to see their habits. You start to see, like, and they start to see your habits too. And then it becomes uncomfortable. Then it becomes awkward, like walking on eggshells, the eggshells that they left on the floor. And you don't want to offend them. You want to kind of drop hints. Like, here's a vacuum cleaner. Or, here's some deodorant. At least that's what they do to me. So Jesus wants to stay at your house. And the thing about Jesus staying at your house when you know that he's perfect and he's holy and he's righteous is that anything that gets revealed by him being in your house will come to the surface. Zacchaeus could have gone like, nah, I'm all good from a distance. Like, I'm good in this crowd, Jesus, you know, like, because I can hide in this crowd. See, that's the danger. When you start climbing sycamore trees and you start being visible to Jesus, Jesus wants to come and hang out with you and stay with you. How many of you know that that should be awesome? But some of you might be like, you know, Jesus, I'm good, but just don't go in the bathroom there because that's where I keep my stash, you know. Or don't go in the shed because that's my little secret place where I light it up, you know. Just, I get lit. Or don't go in that room. Don't look in the bottom drawer because that's where my stuff is. Jesus doesn't come at you. Again, I'm trying to refer to what I said before. Jesus doesn't come at you and go, yeah, I want to look at every area of your life. He already sees it. He doesn't even need to come to your house to see it. He sees your heart. But he still wants to come to your house. But it's a life of surrender. Like, come to my house, look at all my stuff. I don't care because I know the mere fact that the God of all creation will want to come and visit me, I know I'm imperfect. I know I'm not, you know, I know I'm not righteous on my own merit, but I know you're the one that makes me righteous. I know that you're the one that laid your life down for me. So please come to my house. I'm a wreck without you. And this is the heart of Zacchaeus. Did Zacchaeus go, oh, let me think about it, get back to you, knowing that Jesus is going to leave on Monday, I'll pray about it and get back to you on Tuesday. Oh, you're gone, sorry. Oh. No, what did Zacchaeus do? Next verse says, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. How many of you, when it comes to the things of God, you hurry, you come down, and you receive Jesus joyfully? Or is it we take our time? We'll see if we can come when it's convenient. And we'll receive him with a face that looks like we've been swallowing lemons all week. Check out the crowd. Crowd were all wanting to get with Jesus because he's the superstar. And they saw it, they all grumbled. And there's their voices again.
Has he gone in to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner?
And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I will restore it fourfold. That's the sort of transformation that happens when Jesus comes in your house. He doesn't need to say anything. The Spirit of God just shows up and he's like, man, I know I'm wrong. I know I don't deserve your love, but after what you've done for me, God, take it all. I want to rectify everything, not just rectify it to make it right, but I want to give fourfold. That's, again, 4 times 100% of that which I've taken from people, I'm going to restore it. That's what happens when Jesus comes in and transforms your house. That's what happens when Jesus comes in and transforms your society. That's what God wants to do in our city, brothers and sisters, is he wants to come in to your house. And Jesus said to him, salvation today has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And if there's any verse out of the 27 verses that we've just read, that's right, we've read a whole chapter of the Bible. God bless you. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the church attendee and save the tither and save the social worker. And no, he came to save the lost. Brothers and sisters, this is where the lost need to be, is in this, not just in this event of church, though that's nice, that would be great, but like, if you're here today again and if you have been lost, or you found yourself lost and you've lost your way, you are in the right place. God wants to dine with you. God wants to spend time with you. God himself invites you. Despite our imperfections, God wants to meet with you where you are. And in that place, transform your life. Some of us have been living far too long trying to make life happen on our own terms. And you know that life is not getting anywhere. I'm here to tell you today that the author of this life wants to meet you where you are and dine in your house and stay with you, that you will live in the fullest of what God has for you. So every single person in here is at a point of choice. Number one, for those of you who are followers of Christ, you already know that you should be in a place where you understand, like the prayer of David, better is one day in the courts of Jesus than thousands elsewhere. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of God. And that's found in the community. that God has for us. Yes, it's found in our own time with God. It's found in the Word of God. It's found in prayer. It's found in deepening our knowledge of who God is and spreading that love out. There's no better place that we would rather be in. I'm going to give you these 5 points really quickly, and then we're going to worship the Lord. It says here, God wants us to seek unusually. Seek unusually. What do I mean by that? Look in places, Christian. Look in places that God wants us to see beyond where we normally look for those who are lost. Some of the lost people that we're looking for are literally in trees, on the streets of our city. We are to seek unusually for those who are broken in our city. Number two, we're to walk slowly. How many of you know, like, being in a city like Brisbane, those of us who came from, how many of you are from Southeast Asia here? Like Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, any of these countries? All right. How many of you know, like, life here, like, getting used to life here, the pace is a lot slower. But when you grow up in a city like Manila or Jakarta or Singapore or Kuala Lumpur, it's like going fast. Everything's like fast. God wants you to walk slowly so that you can observe what He's trying to show you in different scenarios. Walk slowly through your workplace. Actually, I prophesy this over people here who have an office or are part of an office. Walk slowly. God wants to show you broken people in your office that are going through stuff, that if you just grind and just go through life, you'll miss the opportunities that God is giving you to steward well the gospel that He's given you. Number three, you're to meet purposefully. Meet purposefully, okay? When you meet and hang out, understand that God wants you to steward the time that you've got there. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, how do you want me to steward well this hangout? Because I know you're here. Be aware of His presence. Number four, dine hospitably. How many of you love to eat? You're going to get there soon. You're going to get there soon. But it's biblical to use food. I mean, look at Acts chapter 2, the fellowship that happens and the way that people open up their hearts when you have a meal together. Here's something to help you if you're a believer in here. Believe God for finances to shout people lunch. Man, it's quiet. Literally, no one wants to. Everybody wants to do the Australian haka when they go to pay. Can't find my wallet. Can't find where I put it. Can you pay? And then number five, show Jesus powerfully. Expect Jesus powerfully. Expect Jesus to show up. I'm going to go back to where I was, come back around, and then land on this verse. Remember what I said. He said, having heard such things. This is what they heard, this verse behind me. Having heard these things, they began to grumble and say what they said. And then Jesus responded with that parable of stewardship. That parable of stewardship on a surface level is financial. But deep below the surface is missional. Because when you understood the context of which this parable arrives at us, it was from Zacchaeus. And how Jesus walked through the crowd slowly. He saw Zacchaeus in the tree and he went and spent time with him. And they were disgusted at him. He responds with the stewardship parable. And nothing to do with finances. The only financial thing that happened with Zacchaeus was his generosity after he encountered the presence of God. It's missional. And God wants us as followers of Christ, and here's where we're ending the series, brothers and sisters, is that when Jesus shows up, He transforms life. So the best way that you can invest your time, your talent, and treasure is introducing people to Jesus. Creating an environment where people encounter the presence of God. Understand this, my brothers and sisters, that God does not respond to atmosphere. And we're going to sing a couple of songs about atmosphere, but atmosphere is for us. We're our job is to create an atmosphere where people open their hearts in faith, because God responds to faith. God does not respond to atmosphere. God responds to faith. But if we could create an environment of faith where all of a sudden small people start climbing sycamore trees to seek God, then we are doing our part in investing into our city. You might think, wow, How do I invest in this city? It's as simple as what we're going to learn later today in making disciples class. It's just running a life group. You don't have to, you know, think that you need to get on top of this tallest building and shout the name of Jesus, get amplification so that everybody can hear you. No, all you need to do is just be faithful with what God's put in your hand to make disciples in the environment that God's called you to. How many of you in this room are saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus, Pastor Nathan. Then it's on us, my brothers and sisters, those of you who are followers of Christ, to understand that if you have the living God living inside of you, understand who he seeks. There's two types of people that Jesus is very clear on who God seeks in the Word of God. Luke 19:10, the verse behind me says, he has come to seek to save that which is lost, that who is lost. In John chapter 4, he says that I am seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. They are two in the same. I want you to understand this. Catch this. That if we are true worshipers of God and we are one with God, then we will actively seek that which God is seeking. Are you with me? The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Where will we invest our lives today?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.